So it was back in the mid-1990s that I had what was called a Kundalini awakening. Actually, in my case, it was more specifically a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. Now, Kundalini energy is something that is in every single human being on the planet. It's dormant in most people, and it is said that it is located around the base of the spine, which is also where the experience I had of it was located. The origins of it are located at the bottom of the spine. Kundalini is a Hindu word. It refers to the coiled serpent. Often it's depicted and symbolized as a coiled serpent, like a snake, at the bottom of the spine. And Kundalini, when it's activated in someone, when it's woken up, begins to make its way through the body from the lower spine, going up the spine, and out the top of the head usually as well. It goes out the top of the head and into the frontal lobe of the brain as well. But as it goes up the spine, it slowly begins to purge and clear and cleanse the chakras. So it'll go up and it'll begin to clear perhaps the second chakra, the third chakra, the fourth, so on. Sometimes there will be a kind of hierarchical order to it, but more often than not, Kundalini has its own intelligence and tends to go kind of in what might seem like a haphazard fashion, kind of, you know, spontaneously going to maybe the heart chakra, then back down to the second chakra. And the person who's having the Kundalini experience will feel, sometimes drastically, quite strong, the experience of the Kundalini in that chakra and cleansing that chakra. So that's what happened to me. That was the nature of my awakening, a Kundalini awakening. The reason I'm making a distinction about this from other types of awakening is a Kundalini awakening is very different than what others might call a spiritual awakening. From my experience, the Kundalini awakening is a much deeper, more comprehensive awakening than what we could call just kind of a waking up spiritual awareness awakening. Very, very different things. And our culture, we don't really have a space for what we call a Kundalini awakening. In India and some other countries, they do have space for it. It is part of their culture. And when somebody's having a Kundalini awakening, for instance, in India, people recognize it. They go, oh, they're having a Kundalini awakening. They're having a spiritual awakening. Which is really great because they actually give room and space for that person to have that experience within their culture. You see, in our culture, we really don't have room or space for it. You know, I do think that often there have been, in Western spirituality, Western religion, you know, there have been different people and saints perhaps who have had Kundalini awakenings, but they might look very different than they do in Eastern religion. So part of it is how we hold the space for these things to occur. But mine was a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. Spontaneous in the way that I didn't prepare for it. It wasn't something that I was intentionally setting out to create a Kundalini awakening. I was setting out to create a change in my life, and I'm going to go into that in a moment. But it wasn't intentionally for a Kundalini awakening. Most people who prepare for a Kundalini awakening do so through years of yoga practice. So they're readying the body to bring up the Kundalini energy and to consciously choose that. For me, I had been in a health crisis of sorts for the last couple of years before the Kundalini awakening occurred for me. I had been living in Southeast Asia, Cambodia more precisely, and I had experienced a couple bouts of amoebic dysentery. And so I lost a ton of weight. You know, you take this stuff called Flagyl for the amoebic dysentery, and it wipes out your system. So I had a couple bouts of this within about 6 weeks apart. And my whole system was just completely destroyed, decimated. And I thought I was going to die. I really didn't think I was going to make it back to the U.S. And I did. I did make it back, obviously. And then for the next couple of years, I just didn't feel great. You know, I wasn't sick in bed all the time, but I had a lot of foggy brain and trouble with memory and focus. And then sometimes, you know, I'd feel okay, and then other times I wouldn't feel that great. I'd have to lay down. And so it was kind of hard to maintain working a job and stuff. So something had to change, and it was one day, I remember I was living in San Rafael, California at the time, and I was sitting on the couch in our apartment, and I was alone in the apartment at the time, and I was really at my wit's end. I knew something had to change, but I didn't know what. I had been to quite a few doctors over the last couple of years, you know, and pretty much they said, you know, it's chronic fatigue maybe, or maybe some fibromyalgia in there, and they didn't have any solutions. That was it. And I was also feeling depressed and pretty down at the time. And so I figured I had three options at this point. You know, the doctors couldn't help me. You know, traditional medicine couldn't help me. I had heard but really hadn't experienced any other forms of alternative healing yet. And I thought, well, I could either stay the same, that was one option, or I could die. That was actually a viable option at that moment because I was pretty miserable. Or I could try to get better. And if I can't get better myself, if I can't get myself better, because I could see that nothing outside of me could get me better, at least at that moment, that was my thinking. There was absolutely nothing outside of me that can help me because I had exhausted, you know, in my reality at that moment, I had exhausted all those resources, which was really traditional medicine. So, you know, I came to the conclusion, well, I can try to get well, and if that doesn't work, well, then I can die. That was my thinking that day. And I got really clear that I had to somehow find a way to get better. And I didn't know it at the moment, but sitting on that couch that day, I was actually setting forth and calling on the power of intention. You know, I think when we get really clear and really wanting something and have strong passion and desire to call it forward, we're able to actually set something in motion. Well, that's what I believe I did that day. I set something in motion. It was within, I would say, I don't remember exact number of days, but it was about 7 days. I think it was about a week. Later within that week, I had what was now I know a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. I was involved in some strenuous exercise in the moment, and I kind of blacked out just for a second or two. And in that second or two, I saw lightning shoot up my spine, like a bolt of lightning shoot up my spine. And I didn't really think anything of it, but when I came to, I kind of felt different. I felt really good. And then it was the next day that my partner, who I was living with at the time, you know, she was, we were talking about something, just, you know, everyday stuff. And all of a sudden, I said something out loud. I had no idea where it came from. And I said, oh my gosh, I think your brother is having an affair. And he was married to a great woman. And, you know, was a guy who you never would think would have an affair. So, you know, she asked, well, where did that come from, Kat? And I said, I have no idea. It just came out right out of my mouth. And we kind of let it go. And, you know, I didn't think much more of it right then. And 2 days later, she gets a call and says, you know, from her sister-in-law, and says, hey, I think your brother's having an affair. And we were both kind of like, wow, that's funny, Kent. How did you think that? You know, where did that come from? Anyhow, that was just the beginning. That was the first day. And then it literally was almost every single day, stuff like this coming out of me. Before it actually, you know, something would happen, I would speak it out. I have no idea where it came from. It's like it just came through me. It wasn't coming from my head. It wasn't coming from an emotional place. It was coming from an unknown place at the time. Now I know it coming from, you know, these other realms, psychic realms, or, you know, the spiritual realms. Also at this time, what occurred was I was full-blown psychic opening and clairvoyant opening as well. So all of a sudden, you know, that information I was getting was what we could put into the realm of psychic opening. Clairvoyant, of course, is where the word clairvoyant is a French word for clear sight. And clairvoyant is used in our world, in our society, you know, and at the world in large, I believe, for meaning kind of your third eye, sight of the third eye, or seeing beyond the physical. And all of a sudden, I'm full-blown clairvoyant as well. And within a couple weeks, I had these spiritual guides talking to me, you know, and I started having the experience of angels around me. You know, later I would intuit and know that one of the angels was the energy of Archangel Michael was coming to me at the time and surrounding me. And I could feel it. It was this incredible feeling of upliftment. The other guide energy that started coming to me was, you know, I didn't recognize it at all. It was this guide that would come into the living room and begin to talk deep like this. He had a very deep, serious, yet loving voice, kind of like a stern but loving father energy and feeling about him. But his appearance was really something. He had a kind of a body of a man, but the head of a bird and a really long beak. And I had no idea who it was at first. It was years later when I was listening to some other videos by another spiritual teacher who goes by the name of Drumvalo Melchizedek that I realized the experience I was having was with this Egyptian god Thoth. And Thoth would come and begin to teach me things usually in the evenings. And my partner at the time, she would go to bed early. She would get tired, and I would watch her. I could see as she was getting tired, uh-oh, I could feel the energy changing. And I knew that I was going to receive some sort of teaching that evening. She'd go to bed, and then I'd be up for hours, and this being would sit there talking to me, teaching me things. He started teaching me about the chakras and how to move energy and stuff like that. Very interesting stuff. And a lot of it was just my own healing. At that point, I started, actually within a couple weeks, my energy had begun to shift. I felt, I guess buoyed is the word. I felt like where there was hopelessness before, now there was hope. So it was great. It was an amazing thing happening, and it was also very real. You know, one of the other things that was occurring at that time, I was living in San Rafael, California, just north of San Francisco. And I would have this idea, maybe like in the midday or something, I would get an idea about a concept, you know, a metaphysical or spiritual concept. After all, I'm having all these interactions with these guides and energies. And so I'm very immersed in the energies of spirit and metaphysics, just kind of pouring through me. And I'd get this idea like, oh, what about this concept? And maybe it was, say, around sacred geometry. And I would then go down to the bookstore, you know, downtown San Rafael, and I'd walk right to a bookshelf, and it was like something was guiding me. And I'd reach up on a bookshelf and grab a book that I had never seen or heard of before, open it up, and I'd open up right to the page that was speaking to the topic of conversation I was having with my spirit guides earlier that day. And this didn't happen just once or twice. This happened a number of times, I would say 2-3 times a week, probably on average, for a number of months this was occurring. One of the other things that started happening, kind of going back to the first incident with my partner's brother who was having the affair, is that I started having the experience of knowing what was going to happen before it happened. Started having the experience of knowing what was going to happen before it happened. Now, at the same time, I happened to be living, I say happen as if it was a coincidence, happened to be living across the street from a psychic institute. It was an offshoot of the Berkeley Psychic Institute out of Berkeley, California. This one was called Asclepian, and it was literally right across the street from the apartment building in which I lived. And I thought, wow, this stuff is going on with me. Maybe they could help me, you know, kind of understand what was going on with me. So I went over there and, you know, signed up for it was just a very basic introduction to energy, I believe, something like that. And it met once a week. I think it was maybe 6-8 weeks long, but met once a week in the evenings, one day of the week. And so I went across. After all, it was just right across the street, and it was very affordable. And I started having the experience of going over there, and we would kind of get in touch with our auric energy, and then kind of feeling other people's energy, feeling our energy expand and contract. But just very basic psychic 101 stuff. And we would also then start learning about the chakras. But by about the second or third week, it was really interesting. We'd be given some exercises to do as homework. And I would go back home and, you know, do these exercises. I was into it. And about a day or two into the exercise, all of a sudden, Thoth would show up and start showing me the continuation of the exercise that we were doing. Anyhow, so I would do this exercise, you know, continuing, and like, let's say we were feeling the aura, you know, that was our homework, and the next one was kind of tuning into chakras and spinning the chakras a little bit. And so I'd come to class for one example, I'd come to class and say, yeah, I did the homework, and they said, well, what did you get, Kent? And I said, well, you know, I did this and this, and then I kind of got, oh, you know, how to rotate the chakras, spin the chakras. And they'd say, oh, wait, slow down, Kenton. You're getting ahead of us. That's the lesson that we were going to talk about today. So this was my life for, you know, coming out of the mid to late 90s. It was very intense. I was in kind of the throes of what we call a Kundalini awakening. It was very intense. And at the same time, I was also awakening to what was obviously going to be my path, not only my spiritual path, but also my path and how I was going to make my way in the world, how I was going to make my living, and I guess my, you know, the gifts I would receive and the gifts that I would share with others and the world at large. And boy, it's been an incredible journey. But what I'd like to just finish with is, because of the Kundalini energy and the Kundalini awakening, it's so comprehensive that it lends me gifts, abilities to go in and be able to help people that is much more comprehensive than most people can actually imagine. You know, the ability to go in and looking at anybody's energy and see what needs to be healed and how to heal, how to approach the individual in a whole system perspective. So we're looking at the whole thing, the whole system of the individual, and bringing that into balance, and following the guidance of spirit in the healing process too. So it's not, you know, it kind of takes human error out of the equation. So anyhow, we'll talk more about this. Thank you for listening to this. I know that all of us are very busy, and I appreciate you taking your valuable time to listen to my story, and I look forward to hearing more from you. All right. Much love to you. Bye-bye.